Lord God, we come before you with joy, for in view of your grace, we have been given the gift of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Without these gifts, we are lost sinners. With them, we are your dear children and heirs. Move our hearts, O Lord, to respond to your love by giving ourselves to you, by repenting of all evil, and by pursuing only that which is good, to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Welcome this morning to our worship service in the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior and our risen Good Shepherd, who gave his life for the sheep, came alive to prove and show the victory that he won for us all over sin, death, and hell. We pray the Spirit of our God be poured out upon us as we worship our Savior God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come into the presence of our God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we've disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God. We give you thanks and praise of heavenly joy and peace on earth. We sing, we worship you. To you our hearts we raise. Lord God, Almighty Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right and in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit that we may know the voice of our shepherd and follow him, so that sin and death may never snatch us out of your hand. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. First of our scriptures on this, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is recorded in the book of Acts, a continuing series of readings from Acts during our Sunday services. This is an episode in the days following Pentecost and the choosing of the seven deacons to help with serving the church in Jerusalem, and then the witness that the very first Christian martyr, Stephen, gave his confidence in the Lord and sharing the word, even though it meant that he would forfeit his life, knowing he's still in the risen shepherd, Christ, had the victory. We read then in Acts 6, 1 to 9, and verses from chapter 7. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen. To this he replied, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels but have not obeyed it." When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. Here ends the first lesson. We now read responsively the Easter acclamation as printed in your bulletin. The Lord is risen. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. The Lord is risen, indeed. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be the good shepherd, and he will guide into springs of water of life.
And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Our next Bible lesson is drawn from Peter's first epistle, reading in the second chapter, verses 19 to 25. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, This is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please stand as we confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is found printed on page 15 in the liturgy pamphlet in front of the maroon hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you through a knowledge of God the Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration on this Sunday is recorded in John 10, verses 1 through 10, where Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs up by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Here ends our text. In the name of our good shepherd, Christ Jesus, dear friends, of the 150 psalms that are recorded in Holy Scripture, Psalm 23 ranks high on the list of favorites for many Christians. I'm sure it's probably one of your favorites, maybe your very favorite. Parents often have their kids memorize the Shepherd's Psalm at a young age. Brides and grooms often request it. They have it included as part of their wedding service. Also heard as a reading in many Christian funeral services, and it isn't surprising. This Psalm of David is held in high regard. Can you think of any chapter of the Bible that's filled with more gospel comfort and that summarizes so beautifully all that the Lord has done for us and keeps doing for us each day? On the fourth Sunday of the Easter season, it's also our custom, tradition as Lutherans to spend time on this particular topic of Christ our Shepherd, and that's what we want to do this morning under the theme, "The Risen Savior is our Good Shepherd, who gives us the victory over all the thieves and the robbers, and who blesses us with life to the full." First, I'd like to share some background information on this text recorded in John chapter 10. In the previous chapter, John 9, we read about how Jesus was walking the streets of Jerusalem and he came into contact with a man who was suffering from a health issue he had been dealing with from birth. Couldn't see, blind. The disciples saw this poor fellow begging by the roadside. They asked Jesus, "How come this had happened? Did he sin a bad sin, perhaps? Or maybe his parents?" But Jesus told them, "No, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work could be powerfully displayed in his life." And then, and you may remember this from a sermon that we preached on a couple months ago during the Lenten season, Jesus spit on the ground. He made mud from the mixture of saliva and dirt, told the man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he did so, in obedience to Jesus' word of instruction, he walked home from the pool seeing for the first time in his life.
People heard that miracle, many who had observed him begging by the roadside for years. They wondered how it had happened. The man wasn't bashful about sharing what had happened, what the Lord had done for him. The man they called Jesus mixed some spit with his saliva with dirt, put it on my eyes, told me to wash in the pool, and when I did that, I got my sight. The news of the miracle cure also reached the ears of the Pharisees, Christ's enemies, and they had that man brought in for questioning. And they asked him to explain how it happened, to repeat the whole story. So he told them. And they said, no way. Jesus couldn't have done this. That Jesus fellow, who is a sinner, tell us how you really got healed. We know that God spoke to Moses, the prophet. As for this fellow Jesus, we don't even know where he's from. When the man insisted, Jesus did it. It's a marvelous thing to me that you do not know where he comes from. No one ever heard about this happening. Somebody curing of a man born blind from birth. Pharisees became so livid that they started calling him mean names and they excommunicated him from the synagogue. And when the Lord heard about it, he searched out the man that he might bless him with the knowledge that not only is he a bona fide prophet come from God, but the very Son of God, his Savior from sin and death and hell. And it's at this point that Jesus spoke the words of John 10, where he presented himself to that man and to all who would listen as the good shepherd who descended from heaven to rescue his sheep by giving up his life as a ransom for their sins. Yes, by giving them victory over the thieves and the robbers who had no genuine concern for the sheep. Of course, the people Jesus was referring to initially by the thieves and robbers were those mean-hearted Pharisees who tried to hurt and destroy this precious sheep of Jesus and steal away from him the hope of eternal life. These Pharisees who insisted that the only way to life everlasting is by doing a real good job of keeping precepts and rules and regulations. Jesus gave this man the victory over those no good robbers. After finding the man, he asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He replied, "Tell me who he is, sir, so I can believe in him." And then Jesus told him, "You've seen him. In fact, he's the very man who's talking to you right now." And the man then fell on his knees and worshiped Jesus as his good shepherd. I think you all agree that's a pretty remarkable story. Let's bear in mind, friends, that what Jesus did for the poor man of Jerusalem long ago, he continues to do for people today. Has he not revealed himself to you as your good shepherd through the scriptures by which he's made you wise for salvation through faith in him and through the people that he brought you in touch with during your course of life? Your parents brought you to Jesus in your baptism, trained you up in his good shepherd ways as a little child, or through a Christian friend who shared with you the good news of Christ, or through your spouse or a family member, or through Christian teachers and pastors and other church leaders who shared the words of eternal life with you in Sunday school, in Bible class, in confirmation class, in church worship services. You needed Jesus to do that for you. We all did. Because as we heard in our epistle lesson and also in our Easter acclamation, we were by nature sheep gone astray, wandering aimlessly in the barren wilds of unbelief, born blind as a bat spiritually, But the Lord in his mercy blessed us with the ability to see with crystal clarity. He is our good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep, so that now we've returned to the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. Another way to say all this that the Lord has done and continues to do for us is, yes, he has given us victory over the thieves and the robbers. Brings up the question, well, what thieves and robbers today are out to hurt and steal away from us what we've been given? But think about the ungodly world we live in, all the ungodly people in our society who try to lure us away from our shepherd and the verdant pastures of his word, who try to get us to accept its hollow and empty philosophies, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ, whose basic philosophy is, I am my own shepherd. I don't need a spiritual shepherd like Jesus. The sin-corrupted world that tries to lead us to go along with its profane ideologies and his godless ways of thinking that call evil good, good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. The sin-perverted world that tries to trick us into abandoning the holy truths of God's word, what the scriptures teach in regard to what is true and noble, right and pure, lovely and admirable, in regard to the sacred institution of marriage, for example, and what the Lord teaches us in Genesis. He created man in his own image, male and female, two genders, not four or six or ten. Thieves and robbers are still hard at work to harm us, and our children, egged on by the number one thief and robber, the devil, who tries to use the world as his henchman, he's the puppet master, we might say, to try to deceive us and our children to wander from the Lord and the green pastures of his word. But Jesus, being a faithful shepherd, protects us from these enemies, gives us the victory over them by warning us about, be on the lookout for these robbers and thieves. In his Sermon on the Mount, remember what he said? Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but they are actually ravenous wolves. Be alert, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking victims to devour. Through Paul, his apostle, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, proud, disobedient to their parents, unholy, without self-control, not lovers of the good, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And in another place, his first letter to Timothy, in latter times some will abandon the faith and they will follow things that are taught by demons. Such warnings the Lord gives to us in his love to have our heads on a swivel as we look around us in our worldly society and beware of them. And then by his many comforting, reassuring, faith-invigorating promises, a couple of them, like the one in Deuteronomy, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, your good shepherd, is with you. He goes with you. He will not leave or forsake you. Be faithful unto death. I will give you the crown of life. And later on in the Good Shepherd, John 10 chapter, my sheep listen to my voice, Jesus says. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. And no one can snatch them from my hand. What a good and wonderful shepherd we have indeed, who provides us with all of these love warnings And all of these reassuring promises to make us sure that in the midst of the world's hostility against Christ and us, his sheep, we are safe in his loving care. Another verse from our text comes to mind. Jesus says, I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in. He will go out, find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it. How? To the full. Let's consider a little bit more those words of Jesus that he's given us, life to the full. What does that mean? I don't think there's a better way to synthesize or summarize the meaning of those beautiful words than those beautiful words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The Hebrew has Yehovah Roi. Yehovah is the Lord. Jehovah Roi is my shepherd. And it deserves to be noted that in that psalm, Lord is at the beginning. The Lord is my shepherd. The God of faithfulness and love and limitless power who keeps his promises and has the ability to do it. I shall not want. The Lord Jehovah provided for my foremost need by giving up his life for my sins on the cross and dressing me in a robe of holiness by faith. And since he did that, in his shepherd love, he's going to take care of all my earthly needs too. I will lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters. No shepherd worth his salt would lead his sheep to a pasture that could be dangerous to them, where toxic plants are growing that would hurt them, or to wild rushing currents that might engulf them, sweep them away to a watery death. What my good shepherd does for me is lead me into the lush pastures of his holy word and the refreshing waters of his sacraments. Makes me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the quiet waters. Part of that also, friends, is, and we'll be singing a hymn shortly following the sermon about going to Marah's brink. I don't know if you know that story in the Old Testament, the people of Israel leaving Egypt, they came to a body of water that was bitter. God instructed Moses to throw in a branch, and it became sweet so that they could drink it and be refreshed as they went along their wilderness way. When the Lord does that, he uses the bitter marahs, the things in our lives, to work for our good as well. That's part of the green pastures of his word that he assures us of. He restores my soul. When I stray from him in my weakness into pathways of sin, he leads me to see my sin by the preaching of his holy law, which shows us our sin sickness, and then he fills my heart with godly contrition, a godly sorrow that I've wronged my gracious Lord. And then what does our shepherd do? He tenderly applies his soothing gospel ointment to my scrapes, to my wounded heart, and tells me, son, daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here King David expresses his gratitude to the Lord, Psalm 23, for the Lord's faithful work of helping him to run with joy in the way of the Lord's commandments. David knew, and so do we. We have such a loving shepherd who gave his life for us, redeemed us to be his forever, and loves us so, and that inspires us to follow his precepts, not like the Pharisees were saying to that blind man, former blind man, to get right with God. We already are right with God through Christ. And so we want to walk in his commandments, his precepts, as a thank you to all that he's done for us. That's why you, as a Christian, as a sheep of the good shepherd, you pray, You sing, "Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. Assist my soul too apt to stray, a stricter watch to keep. And should I e'er forget thy way, restore thy wandering sheep." And he does just that. And then finally, when life's most threatening shadow is cast across our path, the shadow of death, what does our good shepherd do? He assures us, "You've got nothing to fear. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He assures us, he will walk with us through that dark valley, reaching out with his nail-scarred hands, grabbing firm hold of ours, and escorting us to the other side, safe and sound. So then, let us praise him. May the grand gospel truth that Christ has given us victory over every enemy of our faith continues to give us victory over the thieves and robbers. Grant us great comfort and encouragement, and lead us to serve him with joy, saying as we pilgrim along our way, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord," Jehovah, Christ, forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, you are mighty in power and infinite in majesty. You've created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. As we enter into your presence with thanksgiving and prayer, bow down your ear to us and in your mercy hear us. We give you our great thanks that you sent your Son Jesus to offer himself as a sacrifice for all the world upon the altar of his cross, through which we've been fully reconciled to you. We give you all honor and glory, for you've glorified your Son Jesus by his resurrection from the dead, with the promise that we too shall rise to life eternal. Grant to us the fullest blessings of this great grace, both now and forever. Our praise to you, dear Lord, for you have transformed the short time of crucifixion, sadness, and defeat into the eternal joy and victory of the resurrection. Help us always to hold firmly to Christ's promise of eternal life, to receive it with joy, and to live resurrection lives for your glory. We pray also that you would give your believers an inner zeal to do your will. Send us forth as your ambassadors with the word of life in Christ, so that multitudes may be turned from their sin to faith in our risen Savior. Bestow your favor, dear God, upon our land. Give us a government that preserves liberty, upholds justice, seeks righteousness, and curbs lawlessness. Move us all as Christian citizens to accept our lawful obligations cheerfully, giving respect to those in authority and goodwill to all.
But since our eternal citizenship is with you, O Father, give us such a measure of your power and grace that we may resist all evil, fight the good fight of faith, and in the end receive the crown of eternal life. Give the comfort of your promises to the sick, the sorrowful, the brokenhearted, and the anxious. Cast out from our hearts all fear of death and the unknown. Give us patience in every trial and trouble, and move our hearts to receive your many great blessings in love and gratitude. These things we ask in the glorious hope of an eternal day with you because of Jesus' life for us, in whom we also now join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Next hymn and then the closing hymn of the service are both found printed in your bulletin on pages 5 and 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.